Welcome to our Straight to the Comments mini episode.
Today we're going to be talking about Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex's new business launch.
But first, we're going to play our Straight to the Comments guessing game.
We are, so let's do this.
All right, I'm going for the first comment, Sarah. Are you ready?
Yes, hit me with it. I'm all ready.
Going onto their website feels akin to walking into a casino. It feels designed to overwhelm your senses. You can palpably feel changes to how your synapses are firing in your brain.
Well, it makes me want to say a gambling website, but I don't like how shiny are gambling websites. I don't know any.
No, I don't. It's a bit of a murky world to me. Okay, let me try and help you then. Comment two, shop like a billionaire.
Yes, please. If someone could just fund it for me, I'll happily do that.
Richard Gere in Pretty Woman. Is that okay?
I'd rather not have to sleep with them, but just they give me the money for no reason. It makes me think of Vegas still. I don't know. Where else do you shop like a billionaire? Give me another one. Give me another comment.
Okay. I'm kind of running out of comments, so this is the last one. I hope you get it.
Okay.
You know an online shopping company is truly bad when they make Amazon look like the good guys.
It makes me think of, you know, what was it called? Wish or something. Those things that always pop up and they're always trying to sell you something and they have everything and it's like 5p.
You're right. And actually, I started off this episode wanting to do Wish because I kept getting adverts for things like gothic dresses because it knows me so well, and toadstools, and who doesn't need a Lord of the Rings cloak to wear to work? Well, you had a cloak when you were at school, so...
I did have a little Red Riding Hood cloak. I did, yeah.
So this is actually this company called Temu that I found out about because I've been getting these really aggressive ads lately on every social media channel. It's almost like stalking me. So this company, I went and searched them on YouTube and this video came up called Temu, the scummiest company in the world.
I feel like there's probably a few companies who could give them a run for their money, but I have seen Temu actually, because like more and more now when I'm searching for something really weird, when I say weird, I mean a mop and a broom wall mounted holder, because that's the level of excitement that my life is. like 90% of the options were Temu. And I was like, can you just give me one that's here, please?
Before we get into it, I just need to ask you first. One of my favourite things to do when I went to stay with my gran was she always had those brochures for like really weird little products, that there was a sort of thing for everything.
The one that they used to post through the door and then they'd come back a week later to see if you wanted anything.
Yes.
And it always had these weird sort of invention type things. And I think I remember even reading an ad in the back where it said, if you've invented something, let us know. And I was like, oh, yes. That's what I want to be, crazy inventor.
Actually, that would be super fun, wouldn't it? Coming up with these things. And Gran and I used to laugh so hard at some of these products, but then we'd be like, but just maybe we need that.
Yeah.
Maybe we need that.
Yeah.
It even had things that were so lazy, like you couldn't be bothered to even like peel an egg. It would find a device that could peel the egg for you.
Oh, like a cigar cutter, but for eggs. Like I remember seeing something like that. Like a knife apparently is not going to work. You need a special egg decapitator.
A special gadget. So yeah, this is where I'm starting from. It's like our memory of these catalogues. Mm. But have you ever been tempted to buy something from Wish?
I have actually, because a few things have popped up that are sort of like really specific and obscure. And I'm like, I could do with that. And it's so cheap. But then I just always worry either it won't turn up or if it does, it'll be absolute crap. So I never actually do it. But I am tempted sometimes.
What's tempted you? I'm curious.
Well, actually, what's tempted me more is this thing that kept popping up on Facebook was ShopCider or something. And they, like you said, they had these kind of sort of gothic, it was almost like a William Morris pattern, very sort of steampunk outfits. And I thought, I could pull that off.
Yeah, you know what? I was like, I really can dress like I'm in the film Dracula around my hometown.
Yeah, exactly. But I just have these images of it arriving and it being... you know, the comedically bad and terrible fabric that it's just a waste of time.
And that was one of the things I looked up, was like what you think you're going to get and then the reality.
Yes, they're hilarious.
So probably in a couple of weeks, we'll get adverts from ShopCider for Oscar gowns.
Yes.
They turn up and they're like, I mean, I'm just saying it's real jumble sale tat, like completely see-through. God knows what it's made of. If the chemicals are going to rub off on your body, I don't know. I do think with these sites, it's so beautiful, the images, the way they kind of promote them and airbrush them. Yeah. And you're like, you're right, they were advertising this sort of 90s dream outfit for me. I was like, yes, I'm going to get it. And I pressed on this Temu app, right? Yeah. And suddenly this, it wants you to install the app, and this horrible casino wheel kind of pops up and starts spinning, saying, if you don't decide within 3 minutes, this outfit won't be 8p anymore. So you're really under pressure.
Okay.
And then yes, because I'm like a complete idiot, I go, yes, I want that outfit. And then it's like, it's taking you down the rabbit warren of all this other stuff. And you're like, where's the outfit gone? I can't find it anymore. Yeah. And then you're just giving more and more. They're probably completely hacking my phone by this point.
Yeah.
So it does feel a bit sinister at the time. So I did some research into it, right?
Mm.
It's apparently the fastest growing business in the world.
Wow.
And it's an online marketplace promising ultra low prices on everything from sunglasses to food processors. It launched in the UK in April 2023. And like I said, it's since gone viral on social media. But it is, I think a lot of people are very suspicious about the low prices.
Yeah, I'm like, how do they make money off that?
Well, that's the question. Why did an article saying that they were making $30 loss on everything they were shipping out?
What?
Yeah, you ask me why they want your data that much. Anyway.
Wow.
Let's just play a little game about how crazy cheap some of these products are.
Mm.
How much do you think like a massage gun would be? Like one of those proper ones that you can, like maybe your chiropractor would use on you, or if you've ever had physio, they can really go in your
IT band. I
bought one
from Kmart, which is one of my favourite cheap stores in Australia. I think I paid about $75. So let's just say £30. And that would have been the cheap version. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So on Amazon, it was listed for $25.99, the cheapest one. On Temu, it's priced £11.
I mean, is that a Barbie massage? Is it for Barbie? Is it a tiny one?
Well, and actually, when I researched this topic, I was quite overwhelmed about the number of YouTube videos sort of doing these, what they call haul videos from Temu. But actually, most people were like, the products don't work and you are getting tat.
Yeah.
Earbuds. So we're talking about the wireless earbuds. How much do you think they would retail for? And they look suspiciously like the Apple ones.
I want to say £25 if it's like a non-app, not an actual Apple one, but you know, generic. £25?
No, this one's going for £10.
Oh.
And they say they roughly retail, I think, earbuds now for £150.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's that's a big difference.
Yeah. So the final one is the Dyson air dryer. So you might have seen it's like really top end.
Oh yeah, super
to do your
expensive.
Hair. Mm.
Yeah. A cheap version, I want to say like £80. That's the cheap version, not an actual Dyson.
So the real Dyson one retails for £450. And the Temu version is $20.
That's just...
Which I think is about roughly, well, yeah, I don't know, £18, I don't know.
Yeah, I expect that to work for like an hour and then die.
The FT, actually, the Financial Times, last month only did a big deep dive into who is this mysterious company, Temu. Where do they come from? Who's backing them? And it is a Chinese company. And they said their business model is to sort of get you in, install the app, and then the algorithm would start like TikTok. It will work out what you're pressing on using AI to kind of predict your whims and desires.
Mm.
And then products are shipped for free, which is incredible when you think it, when they're coming from China.
Yeah.
And they're basically cutting out all the middleman and ensuring low prices.
Yeah. It feels like the most extreme outcome of where mass production has come from, you know, like from the Second World War kind of thing, where things started to become more affordable and mass produced. And in a way, that was a really great thing, that everyday people could afford products that they couldn't before. But now it's just become so disposable. It's just trash. You're just like generating more and more plastic trash that doesn't even work, and you're throwing it away and you're not even using it. I mean, this has to be the pinnacle of that, right?
It really is. I do care about the world and like how we use resources, but I am someone that goes into Primark. I've been wearing their leggings for like 10 years and their tank tops. So I kind of got used to those low prices, and I can also, you know, like mix and match it with sort of nice quality pieces.
Yeah.
So it's hard when you get kind of used to that cheap price and you're trying to make your budget stretch. I get why people are buying these things. But the sad thing is often if they're going to spend £100 at Temu, oh my goodness, God knows what's going on the other end to get those prices. Yeah, yeah.
I think for me, that's where, I mean, I grew up, my parents loved a car boot sale. So my version of that is you could get like, you could get stuff for 20p, 50p, I remember. But at least you know the quality's good. So I'm much more of a sort of secondhand shop. But these days, have you been to a charity shop recently and you go in and you're like, this is more expensive than Primark. What are you doing?
That is such a good point. Because when we went to York together almost a year ago, and we went to some of the charity shops, we were just looking and we were like looking at the back of the books going, ooh, that's more expensive than the real bookshop.
Yeah.
So, like you said, and like some of the items in there were like £20. And I was like, oh. No.
Yeah, you're taking the piss. It's eBay all the way for me. I really like eBay. And it sort of feels like reusing.
One of the big comments you see about Temu is that you can't stop them stalking you online. Once you click on any picture, that's it for life.
Yeah, that is true.
This just brings me a serious point for our listeners if you're sort of tempted to try this. A top security cyber expert said, the app seems to be feeding into the unsustainable practices of fast fashion, cheap goods and data harvesting.
Mm.
Remember, when something is insanely cheap or free, chances are you are the real product.
Oh, that's such a good point. It is so tempting though, isn't it? It's like, if something looks like it's too good to be true, it probably is. It's the same with Tinder. Probably a catfish, you know. if it looks really good and he's supposedly still single and interested, nah, man.
Just don't do Tinder and Temu on the same night.
Yeah, that's too much.
What a bleak future.
So for our question this week, Veronica, who's one of our very loyal and lovely listeners, and she sent us in a question on Instagram. Well, it was actually a link to the news that Meghan Markle has launched her new lifestyle brand. And what did we think about this? So it seems she'd previously had a lifestyle brand called The Tig, where she interviewed celebrity friends, shared recipes, blogged about travel, etc., etc. But then it was shut down when she married Harry. But with this news coming out, people made a lot about the timing of the launch. So The Cut had a headline that said, King Charles is sick. Kate Middleton is plagued by countless conspiracy theories. Now is obviously the perfect time for Meghan Markle to announce a new business venture with the launch of an Instagram account for something called American Riviera Orchard. So that's the name of her new company. It was announced via 9 Instagram posts. It shows the brand's gilded logo and crest. And actually within hours, get this, the account had more than 200,000 followers. We're doing something wrong.
I tell you what, when you do anything to do with the royal family, it just goes nuts, doesn't it?
It does. And I can see, like, you know, you said this to me before. I can see why people do stories on this because, you know, but so far nothing's been released. But the brand's trademark filing application includes cookbooks, tableware, linens, a range of spreads and preserves, including jellies, jams and nut butters, alongside table place card holders specified to be not of precious metal. So
sounds like Martha Stewart, right? Is it the National Trust sort of stroke goop?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of comments on the Cut article. There was actually, what was really interesting to me in the Cut, is the Cut American, Lisa?
It is. It's, I follow them. I follow them on Insta, actually. And they are, I think, owned by the New York Times. It's like their kind of magazine, I think, or website.
Right.
So yeah, they're based in New York.
So it's sort of more, you know, so a lot of people commenting were maybe American. There was actually quite a lot of backlash to The Cut and the tone of the title, sort of a lot of people defending her. So for example, there were these comments. The Cut wrote this headline, take it down. Female bashing is critically bad for your brand. Shameful. And another person said, perfect example of making women feel guilty for prioritizing their own well-being and giving a shit about themselves.
Oh.
And I think what they're meaning about that is that she would have to like rechange her timeline perhaps because everyone else has stuff going on. So, you know, like, well, someone else said in another comment, the headline is absolute trash. When you're launching a brand, it takes months, if not years of preparation. She shouldn't have to push it back because people who clearly don't care about her are in hot water at the moment. A lot of it's about people assuming that she timed it specifically to capitalize on all this other royal stuff that's going on.
Oh, I thought it was the opposite, because do you remember that famous quote, "It's a good day to bury bad news"?
Yes.
I think it was about sort of using the sort of air cover of, you know, they're all looking in that direction and I'm going to launch this sort of undercover in a way.
Oh, no, I think it's more... She's been accused a lot of deliberately timing announcements to upstage Kate or other members of the royal family, you know, that she's quite media savvy. And that, like you said, that it's a big thing in marketing and PR timing.
I wonder if she did launch it deliberately thinking that everyone's looking that way, because she knows she gets a lot of hate whenever she does anything and a lot of coverage. And they're so preoccupied talking about what's wrong with Kate and William and the photo scandal that they won't scrutinise her so hard when she launches her site. So it's kind of like what you call a stealth launch.
Oh, I understand what you're saying now. Okay.
Yeah, so she does a bit of a tease, you know, just showing a little bit of her. I think I saw the little Insta video she did and it looked very beautiful and glowing, amber light. It's just so stunning, her home. But here's the thing with Meghan, Duchess of Sussex or Merkel. We talked when we started this podcast, there was a few people we didn't want to get into because we were worried about cancel culture.
Yeah.
Because she's so polarizing. And I tend to find most people I know in my circles and in the UK are not so warm towards her. They see her in quite a different light to these comments.
Yeah.
But then you do see a huge amount of, like, when I posted a video about Kate Middleton and the health conspiracy theories to promote our episode about her on TikTok, because I am trying to do TikTok just the last few months. We got like 15,000 views in 1 week and I couldn't even keep up. I think there's 600 comments.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And it wasn't even about Kate.
No, it wasn't even about us, really.
No, it was just fighting about Kate versus Meghan. And this is what I really feel it's reduced to. So we've never really wanted to tackle her before, have we, or talk about her?
No, it's very much you're one team or the other. And I think people identify a lot. I've noticed a bit of a sort of British-American split as well. I'd say a lot of Brits are sort of not that keen on her. You know, there's maybe a lot of Americans who are supportive of her, but are they supportive of her or do they just hate royals? You know what I mean? It's like, which is it? It's so difficult. I mean, there's so much noise about her and she, whatever you think about her, she's like Amber Heard, who was another one we were like, we won't touch. Whether you like her or not, and I'm not saying I'm actually not that keen on either, but they are getting a lot of hate online from regular commenters, from journalists, like really nasty stuff. And the thing for me is, even if I don't like someone, I don't need to bully them. You know, I'm like, I don't need to add noise to that.
Yeah, but just to say, I do know there's a lot of Americans that don't buy into Meghan Markle and her kind of idea of being a sort of royal influencer. In fact, I think that we discussed it before that we'd seen that she's, there was a recent survey that came out and said that they've lost their kind of grip on the kind of, what do we call it? Their momentum in America.
Their ratings have gone down for sure. I mean, I think it was at its highest right after the Oprah interview. And then, though, there seemed to be a disparity between the things they were saying and the things they were doing, which was, you know, we've been bullied and we want privacy and that's why we've left. But then launching a lot of different media things, like the Netflix, very much leaning into that we've been victimized mentality, which made people question, if you really want privacy, why are you going after attention?
Exactly. And I remember someone wrote around this time when they got their big deals with Spotify and Netflix. It's like, he's a lost prince with just a Netflix deal. And she's like trying to capitalize on 83 days of working for the royal family with all her projects. She did the minimum before she could kind of make a lifetime of money out of it. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I've also seen comments which are really interesting, which almost says, regardless of what they've done before, what are they expected to do now? You know,
true. True.
She can't get a job in Walmart. So like, and we said something about this, you know, when we were doing the criminal Gypsy Rose Blanchard episode. What is she supposed to do now? So there was this one comment that said, the amount of hate Megan gets is astounding. If she doesn't work, she's a grifter and a gold digger. If she does work, the timing is bad. Just say she can't do anything right in your eyes and be honest about it.
I'm really curious who her fan base is. If I was to really think about the demographics who are really into her, is she going to be going for that really super wealthy crowd who can afford to buy things like you see on the Gwyneth Paltrow site?
Yeah.
That retailing at the top end of everything. Or is she going to go more mass market and make it like more affordable for, you know, like the everyday American? And kind of going back to our Temu thing,
yeah.
We didn't talk about actually QVC and TV shopping, which is a huge thing in America,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. No.
I was shocked. People I wouldn't have thought would do this kind of stuff. Like Catherine Zeta-Jones launched her brand.
Really?
Something on there. And I think that other people have done it as well.
Yeah. No, I mean, Jane Seymour. I know there's a lot of those kind of, that does surprise me. Yeah, I see it more in those lines because I think the key here is, you know, when it said about the trademark filing and it said table place card holders specified to be not of precious metal. That suggests like Gwyneth would have it made out of actual gold and it would be unaffordable for everyone. Whereas I feel like it's trying to give the idea of royal fanciness, let's say, but for people at an affordable price.
They think the people that think, okay, I want to have a little bit of what Meghan's lifestyle's like.
Yeah, and I can feel like a duchess. And you know what's interesting is it'll probably work to a certain extent. Because I saw this comment that said, excited to patronize this business in spite of literally everyone rooting for its failure. We got you, Meg. And it just shows that exactly what we said about Gwyneth Paltrow, where she said, I can monetize those eyeballs. This person hasn't even seen what's to offer. It's not like she's saying, oh, I saw this particular thing and it looked really cool and I wanted it because it looked really nice. She doesn't even know what they're selling. She wants to buy something to support Meghan. So she could sell any old tap because, maybe people are buying more as in a like, I'm rooting for you, not the product.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite an interesting thing to me.
Also, there's something about the cooking and the baking that makes me feel like, I don't know, is it really feminist to be just doing baking and gardening? I'm not knocking it. I love doing all these things, but it feels a bit retro as well.
Well, I saw a comment that said, I'm not worried about the timing. I'm more worried that this might be a trad wife thing.
Oh.
And so that's a whole, you know, it brings us back to Jerry, sort of like Lady of the Manor. I'm doing all these, you know. But I think people should be able to do whatever they want. The key is going, not all women should cook if they don't want to cook. If you like cooking, great, get into it. Wear dresses, do what you want. If you don't like it, don't. Go out and play in the mud. I mean, there's a very extreme two options. But you know what I mean? It's saying that this is not what it means to be a woman. But if you are interested in this, come look at my stuff.
But what's interesting, Sarah, she did, the first project she did after leaving the royal family was her podcast show, Archetypes. Did you ever listen to any of the episodes?
I didn't, but I did hear about it and this idea of like what it is to be a woman and these different labels. And, you know, like I think Diva was one of them. Probably, I think, was that the Mariah Carey episode or something?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
So, yeah, it does feel ironically like she's leaning into Duchess, Lady Who Lunches, Countryside, you know. But maybe that's who she is. We don't know.
One of the things I think is going to be interesting is how does she navigate social media because of the intense level of conversation around her? For example, does she switch off all the comments?
They have switched off the comments, apparently.
Oh.
I only know that because a comment on the cut was, I wish they hadn't turned off the comments on her Instagram because I'd love to see all the people asking questions about Kate. I would turn off the comments if I was her, but do we actually think she's personally sitting there running that account? I mean, I'm assuming not. I'm assuming this is a company thing. Because it's just, I can understand why people like Selena Gomez have these social media breaks. Yeah. It's not good for you to get that level of feedback. Like, you know, you were saying you were struggling with the one on TikTok that was getting 600 comments. And that's, some people get 10 times that. It's just,
and some people were arguing all night, just these two people.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not for me. And I think sometimes people really need to stop and question, what am I actually arguing about? Am I arguing about the topic that we're talking about? Or am I actually arguing about something else? Has it hooked into, you know, some sense of value I have of myself because I identify with one person or not, you know? Mm. And usually if you're going to be that dogged in it, it's something personal. It's not really about the topic anymore. And the more work you can do on working out what that trigger is, the freer you will be to not be so reactionary in life.
Mm.
And we're all doing that to a certain extent, maybe not on the internet, but it is something that I think a lot of the time it's like, is this what we're really, you know, like where couples fight about the toilet seat? They're not fighting about the toilet seat, guys. That's what I feel like a lot of social media is as well.
Mm. I think for me, and I'm going to be bold about this, I think there is something for me because I love the Queen so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I get there's lots of problems about the royal family, what it stands for and the money and et cetera. But there was something so amazing once in a million years about the Queen. And
yeah.
I think she really had a hard last couple of years. I think that's landed a lot on Harry and Meghan. And I don't know if I can come back and support them, really. And I'm doing that in a diplomatic way. And I don't really have extreme views about them. I think there's much worse people to go after in the world, like the scummiest company in the world, Temu.
Yeah.
Which is like, I didn't even bring up half the stuff I found out about them. I think it's important to prioritise who's causing real damage in the world. That's my final thought on that.
Yeah. Well, I'll just finish off and say, I'm probably in a similar situation. I've just talked about people projecting their own stuff. But for me, my mum was such a huge fan of the Queen that I associate that with her. So it's almost like a defense of my mother defending that.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to finish off with probably one of my favorite comments on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she's tried things and then if they haven't worked out, she tried something else. And I do think resilience is a really good thing for people. You should just keep trying. Don't give up. But as someone said, I'm convinced Brooklyn Beckham is her life coach.
That's so random.
Okay, so that brings us to our celeb crazy prediction of the week, which is how we're going to round out this episode. Lisa, hit me with it. What is yours?
I would really like to see a musical biopic of Cyndi Lauper.
Oh.
Growing up, I really loved her music. And there was this really camp 80s film called Girls Just Want to Have Fun with Sarah Jessica Parker. And she wanted to be like a dance, I don't know, a dance queen. And she was in all these contests and it was really cheesy. But I really feel like she's so underrated, Cyndi Lauper. And I'd like to know more about her gritty New York background, her journey. I think she's just a really intriguing character. I'm just making a really big pitch for it. What does Cyndi Lauper mean for you?
Basically, you know what Cyndi Lauper means for me? She means, it makes me think of Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion. That was, do you remember that film? It was so niche.
Yes.
But the time after time, so that's what it makes me think of. And I will throw my hat in the ring and say, I support your vision. Let's get this made.
Yeah. And Sarah, over to you. What's your crazy celebrity prediction?
Well, it's interesting because I've also gone for something a little bit filmic. I had a dream that a live action version movie was made of Tom and Jerry, you know, the cat and mouse thing.
Oh my God, have you not heard of Roger Rabbit?
No, but wait. But it's actually about furries. And if anyone doesn't know who a furry is, they're people who like to dress up as animals, you know, like mascots, sometimes sexually, sometimes just. Being masters. But it's about these two furries who have a really like combative relationship, and they're actually played by Tom Cruise and Jerry Seinfeld, because for some reason the actors have to have the same name as the characters in this movie. And the gist of the story is that it turns out that they were always fighting because they were secretly in love with each other. And at the end of the movie, they get together and they ride off into the sunset in one of Jerry's vintage cars. And I might just say that I did have a small surgical procedure with general anesthetic this week. And this might have been a fever dream I had because of all the pain meds I was on. So, but it's going to be my celebrity prediction of the week. So there we go. What do you think?
I'm actually gobsmacked because...
Wordless. There's like nothing to say to that, Sarah.
It's just so like opposite to how I see Tom Cruise, like dressed as a furry.
Yeah. And Jerry Seinfeld.
And the whole love relationship between them. Oh my God. So many plot twists.
Yeah. I don't know how my brain dreamed that up, but Hollywood, if you're keen on this idea, you know who you can get to screenwrite it. Just give me a call.
Yeah, I got a little bit more of a feeling my Cyndi Lauper biopic might be more bankable.
Yeah, I think it's got a better chance.
So that's it for today. Thank you for listening.
Yep. And we're going to be back next week, the full episode. And we're actually going to be looking at the world of emotional truth. You know, that thing that celebrities love to talk about. Yeah.
I think it'd be very, very interesting to dig into this.
Definitely.
Because I still don't know what it means when people say my emotional truth.
Yeah. Well, you're going to find out next week.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you to our lovely producer, Emily. If you enjoyed today's episode, please don't forget to leave a review and subscribe. It really does help us in reaching more people. You can also follow us on Instagram. Our handle is at S2TCPodcast. You can find out more about the show, get behind the scenes, come and say hello. Until then, see you next time.
This podcast has been produced by Emily Crosby Media.